Well, hey there. Good morning. It is the Adam, the Computer Guy, radio show. With me, Adam Lepp, your friendly neighborhood IT person. Hey, thank you very much for listening. As usual, we're going to have a lot of fun today. If you are a new listener to the Adam, the Computer Guy, radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Well, thank you very much for tuning in. Make the coffee, relax. I can assure you this is well worth spending your 9 a.m. hour with the friendly neighborhood radio device or, of course, your virtual listening device, computer, laptop, tablet, smartphone, or maybe your phone that really isn't quite so smart. If you are a veteran listener, well, also would like to say gracias, Dankeschön, and thank you in any language that you would like me to use. Assuming it's a language I know something about, and that list is rather small. As you probably know, we have news and views from the world of technology, things like self-driving cars, medical technology, social media updates, computers and technology, social media and sports, and advice to make your computing experience not only more fun, more profitable, but also safer, because there's not really anything that I would say is as important as making sure your data is safe and secure and away from what we call the prying eyes, ears, and other entities that really have no right to attach themselves to your personal life, whether electronic or otherwise. Now, the best part of the show is that we take your telephone calls live here in the studio at the Marion Center Mall. So, hey, pick up the old telephone or, of course, your smartphone or flip phone or bag phone, whatever kind of device it is. Give me a call right now. I would just love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Maybe your monitor is only monitoring your headaches and your aggravation with said device. Maybe your computer's memory only has a memory of when you were able to use your technology item without any headaches. And maybe your printer is not printing, or in general, you've tried Windows 10 and decided that it doesn't get a 10, it gets a 0, and you'd rather go back to 7 or maybe even XP. Well, we have thoughts on those types of situations and much more. I'm Adam Lepp, the Computer Guy. Thank you so much for listening. Much appreciated. Don't be shy. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. I offer free technology advice. We can debate topics that I've discussed on previous shows. If you don't agree with me, well, that's fine. I'm a rather open-minded individual. We can debate, or, of course, you can maybe give me a new wrinkle on things that we have discussed in the past. Coming up later today, we have a great in-studio guest in less than 3 hours. It's my favorite signer of dollar bills, Mary Ellen Withrow. Of course, she is a native and resident of the Marion area, former U.S. Treasurer under President Bill Clinton. And, of course, Ohio Treasurer, and she held many other offices locally before that. One of the, in my opinion, top women in an office, probably in all of recorded history. The Honorable Mary Ellen Withrow will be here with Scott Spears as part of his program now, right after the 1 p.m. features later today. And, of course, the legendary Charlie Evers follows me, like he does every Thursday, after the 10 a.m. features, until noon. So we have great shows for you all day. Keep your listening device where it is. We will not disappoint you. I promise. It's the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with me, Adam Lepp. Beautiful spring-like day outside. Good morning. Let's take a look at some of the stories in the world of technology that have crossed my desk recently. If you're like me, you enjoy using Facebook and LinkedIn and all those social media sites, but you probably realize that the good old days when people actually talked on the phone or in person, you went to your neighbor's house and brought over a cake, and you shoot the breeze, and you communicated with more old school methods. That maybe that, although not quite as fancy, not quite as providing immediate gratification like social media does, but maybe those methods of communication had some aspects. That's what I wanted to say. Aspects that really make them better and more personalized than the old-fashioned, the new-fashioned social media method. And I think that the social media explosion certainly has affected our youth more. As I think I mentioned this last week, anybody high school age or younger probably does not remember a world without the internet, without a way of communicating in the instant fashion of instant messaging. And of course, even email is essentially instant. And of course, now we have Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram and all these social media and photo and life sharing interfaces. So you may wonder, well, how does the excessive use of social media affect people's personality and their overall life quotient? Is that a word, life quotient? Well, I'll just make it up because I think in this case it's a worthwhile term. A University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine analysis discovered that spending large amounts of time reading social media feeds, using social media, is linked to a greater risk of young adults developing eating and body image concerns. And I would agree, you're looking at photos all the time, and someone always seems to be better looking than you are with a better figure or a better lifestyle. You kind of wish that you were this person, or you try to be like this person because of the instant gratification of social media versus picking up a People magazine like I might have done when I was in high school. And that very well can affect your image. Now, this study looked at many demographic groups. Gender, exact age, race, and income did not influence the association. They found, again, the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine did this study, so a fairly nearby institution. They found that all demographic groups, regardless of gender, race, age, and income, were equally affected by the link between social media and eating and body image concerns. And they indicated that preventative messages should target a broad population. Dr. Jaime Sidani, Assistant Director of Pittsburgh Center for Research on Media Technology and Health, said, "We have long known that exposure to traditional forms of media, like fashion, magazines, and television, is associated with the development of disordered eating and body image concerns, likely due to the positive portrayal of thin models and celebrities. Social media combines many of the visual aspects of traditional media with the opportunity for social media users to interact and propagate stereotypes that can lead to eating and body image concerns." Now, Dr. Sidani sampled over 1,700 U.S. adults in the young adult age group, 19 through 32, in 2014, using questionnaires to determine social media use. The questionnaires asked about the 11 most popular social media platforms at the time: Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Snapchat, Reddit, Tumblr, Pinterest, Vine, and LinkedIn. And a partridge in a pear tree, perhaps, but we'll save that for closer to Christmas time. Doesn't look like Christmas outside. Anyway, they cross-referenced those results with the results of another questionnaire, which used established screening tools to assess eating disorder risk. Now, eating disorders include anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder, and other clinical and mental health issues where people have a distorted body image and disordered eating. These issues disproportionately affect adolescents and young adults. However, more general disordered eating, body dissatisfaction, and negative or altered body image likely affect a broader group of individuals. Now check this out. The participants who spent the most time on social media throughout the day had 2.2 times the risk of reporting eating and body image concerns compared to their peers who spent less time on social media. Now, participants who reported most frequently checking social media throughout the week had 2.6 times the risk compared with those who checked least frequently. Dr. Brian Primack, Assistant Vice Chancellor for Health and Society in Pittsburgh School of Health Sciences, noted that the analysis could not determine whether social media use was contributing to eating and body image concerns or vice versa. He said it could be that young adults who use more social media are exposed to more images and messages that encourage development of disordered eating. He said, conversely, people who have eating and body image concerns might then be turning to social media to connect with groups of people who also have these concerns. However, connecting with these groups for social media, for social support, could inhibit recovery because of the desire to continue being a part of a shared identity within social media groups. So, you would use social media to try to improve your body image or help with a disorder such as anorexia or bulimia, but that might be counterproductive because of the some of the negative things that social media can do to a young adult. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. Let me know what you think. This is certainly an interesting topic. Are you a young adult, a parent or a grandparent of a young adult, and do you feel that too much social media can have a very adverse effect on someone's body image? Phone number here at the station, 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear from you. My name is Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy, with my twice weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial and broadcasting online 24/7. And 366 days, by the way, during leap years like 2016, at WWGH1071.com. So let's see what else we have in the news and views realm of technology. How about the latest and greatest in smartphones from Motorola? On Tuesday, Motorola unveiled three new smartphones: the fourth generation Moto G, the Moto G Plus, and the Moto G Play. The Moto G and Moto G Plus can be customized using Moto Maker, while the Moto G Play cannot. They all run Android Marshmallow, which is Android 6.0.1. Now, the Moto G and Moto G Plus became available Tuesday in Brazil and India. They will be rolled out across North America, Europe, Latin America, and Asia in stages. The Moto G Play, which is the lowest end of these three gadgets, will be available globally this summer. The Moto G Plus is priced at about $225. However, in India, where it has been introduced, the typical price point for a smartphone is $100. So it's relatively expensive in India, but here in the States, $224, that's not too bad. Both the Moto G and Moto G Plus have a 5.5-inch 1080-pixel full HD display. Pretty fancy. And a 16-megapixel rear camera and a 5-megapixel front camera. My goodness, that's pretty good. For a $224 phone, that is quite a bargain, if you'd like my opinion. They run on a Qualcomm Snapdragon octa-core processor, which goes up to 1.5 gigahertz. The Moto G and Moto G Plus are available in dual SIM versions in select regions and offer up to 32 gigabytes of storage. And check this out, they take only 15 minutes to charge the battery for 6 hours of use. So, a rapidly charging battery, two very good cameras, even the lower end camera is 5 megapixels, and a pretty good price point, 224 smackaroonies. That would be dollars. So, pretty good introduction there from Motorola. And I think that the phone will be challenging the iPhone and assorted versions of Samsung phones for top dog as we enter the summer and then following that, the holiday season. Of course, the holiday season seems to start earlier every year, but that's okay. I certainly accept presents. This is the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1. Hey, we do take your telephone calls. I'm live here in the studio at the Marion Center Mall. Question about your computer, your printer, your server, at your home office, or even maybe in your vehicle, I'd love to hear from you. Question, comment, suggestion, complaint, or other dialogue about a topic we've discussed today or have discussed, suggestions for future topics, that's all fair game. Number here at the station is 740-383-WWGH. And, of course, WWGH, that comes to 9944. One regular topic here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show would be self-driving vehicles, be they cars, trucks, or anything in between. Auto, on Monday, introduced a self-driving kit designed to help those behind the wheel of big rigs drive more safely and efficiently. Now, the company, Otto, is developing a suite of sensors, software, and other truck-related enhancements that could be retrofitted into existing vehicles. The technology has been tested in Otto's research fleet, and the company recently completed an autonomous demo of its technology on public highways. The initiative aims to enhance the capabilities of the Otto truck as well as collect safety data to demonstrate the potential benefits that this technology could bring to the trucking industry and how it could make roads safer for everyone. Otto has been testing 3 Volvo trucks that were outfitted with its semi-autonomous and driver-assist technology. The company was founded by Anthony Lewandowski, who previously worked on Google's autonomous vehicle program, as well as Lior Ron, the former project lead for Google Maps, Don Burnett, and Claire Delaney. It has 40 other former Google employees, as well as people who have worked at Tesla, Apple, and Cruise. Now, with this semi-autonomous methodology helping drivers drive their big trucks, Otto aims to address some of the problems that plague the trucking industry, including safety and pollution issues. Now, 4.3 million commercial trucks utilize the 222,000-mile U.S. interstate highway system, and they move 70% of all cargo in the United States. Now, trucks only drive 5.6% of all the miles in the United States, but they are responsible for 9.5% of all driving fatalities. 8 people die every day because of an accident involving a truck. So safety, again, that's a lot of the reason for having these semi-autonomous trucks, and it sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Now, large trucks make up just 1% of vehicles on the road, but they account for 28% of road-based pollution. Adding to the problem is the fact that 1 in 7 trucks is driving empty after delivering its cargo. The American Trucking Association last year reported a shortage of 50,000 drivers, and that'll be 150,000 in 2020. So as you probably see from ads, truck drivers are in demand. It's a pretty well-paying job, but of course we want it to be a safe job in addition to being well-paying with job security. So we're kind of doing multiple things to improve the entire trucking industry. Now, the big advantage on auto's end is that it's not trying to create a self-driving vehicle, just a assisted vehicle. Robert Entner, their a principal analyst at Recon Analytics, said, "Auto's path is smart, as it focuses on the huge aftermarkets and at least initially on supporting the driver rather than replacing him or her." Roger Entner said this allows companies that are interested in the technology to safely try the technology rather than go in with both feet. It has relatively little competition as other companies have focused on the automobile market. Wallace Lau from Frost & Sullivan said, "Targeting the aftermarket could potentially provide a huge install base that could potentially boost the initial adoption rate of autonomous-enabled trucks if return on investment is quick and benefits are proven." Now, even as an aftermarket product, auto could hit some roadblocks. Paul Tyke from Tyrios Research said the biggest inhibitor for this concept is insurance coverage. Each installer must be educated, tested, and certified. Each installation must be inspected and approved. And auto needs to indemnify certified installs against lawsuits related to system capabilities, as well as system integration and distributors' installations. So using technology to make the trucking industry safer, more efficient, and better for the environment. Sounds like a good idea, but certainly it's only in the beginning stages. Hey, give me a call. Let me know what you think. I would love to have the honor of speaking with you about this and other topics. It's the Adam the Computer Guy Show, live here in the studio at the Marion Center Mall, 740-383-9944. Adam left.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
An SUV tucked away in the shadows of the Philadelphia Convention Center's tunnel bears the ubiquitous logo for Google Maps. And mounted on top of the vehicle are two high-powered license plate reader cameras. Now, to the typical passerby, it appears to be a Google Street View vehicle. Other people, like Matt Blaze, a University of Pennsylvania computer and information science professor, saw it for what it truly was, a crudely designed tool for surveillance. Now, Professor Blaze tweeted a photo of the vehicle with the appropriate opening. Well, we're not going to say what he said because it implies a word we can't use on the radio, but I'm sure you can figure it out. Naturally, he wasn't too pleased about it, so I certainly can understand why he would have tweeted that. Professor Blaze's baffled pronouncement is appropriate. Why would a government agency need to disguise a surveillance vehicle like this? And which agency believes that it needs to do so? A placard on the dashboard indicates that the SUV is registered with the Philadelphia Office of Fleet Management, which maintains city government's 6,300 vehicles, indicating that the vehicle is being used by a local agency. Christopher Cochi, who serves as the city's fleet manager and whose signature is on the document, says that the vehicle does not belong to the Pennsylvania State Police, which is known to use automated license plate recognition. Nor does it belong to the Philadelphia Parking Authority, a local agency that also utilizes automated license plate technology. So, who owns this surveillance truck? Christopher Cochi said all city vehicles, like fire, police, and street vehicles, are registered to the city. Agencies like the Housing Authority and the school district are registered to their respective agencies. But what happened was that, in time, the Philadelphia Police Department admitted that it owns the truck, and they are launching an inquiry as to why it was designed as a Google vehicle. So, a little twist on what you might be seeing out there on the road. Is it really what you think it is? Is it really a Google Maps car? I guess that's always part of the fun when you have different types of gadgets using our highways. It's the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, a twice-weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM on your radio dial. Beep, beep. Yes, it's time for me to toot my own horn. I do that at least once a show, but that's okay. Have you seen the website lately? I tell you, it rocks. You can hear the excitement in my voice. Of course, I'm the webmaster, programmer, designer, and maintainer, and my company is the host for the website, WWGH1071.com. You can listen to, at a time that is convenient for you, archives of previous shows, be it my show, The Charlie Evers Show, Now with Scott Spears, Sober Joe, Heaven Express, you name it, it's there. Go to show archives and listen to the show at the time that you would like to listen to it. I guess that makes sense. You can also get a link to Championship Wrestling and find out about local events here in Marion and the greater Mid-Ohio region of the fine Buckeye State that we proudly call home. And last but not least, you can listen online. Just click on the Listen Online button. And now, whether or not you are on a phone, tablet, laptop, desktop, doesn't matter. If you have internet access and a browser, you can listen online. We have recently improved that. The sound is better. It connects more quickly, and it is much more reliable. In addition, if you use an app called TuneIn, which works great, especially on an Android phone, that's how I listen, just go to the Google Play Store. It's free. It's store, but it's a free item at the Google Play Store. And search for TuneIn, T-U-N-E. I-N, look for WWGH, and go ahead and make it a favorite, and you can listen on demand anytime you wish, and no charge. How about that? That was the kind of station that we are here. You can listen online, on your car or home or office radio, as well as what we sometimes call podcast. Listen on demand to your favorite shows in the archives section. If you have a question or comment or suggestion about the website, that would just be fantastic. I'd love to hear from you because, you know, I'm the webmaster, so you got the right person. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. Or, of course, you can also send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. Also like to remind you that coming up in about 2.5 hours. I'm sorry, actually 3.5 hours. But it's well worth the wait. It is the former U.S. Treasurer, Mary Ellen Withrow, also former Ohio Treasurer, and she held many offices here in the Marion area prior to that. One of the top women in public office of all time, certainly in my lifetime. The Honorable Mary Ellen Withrow will be joining Scott live here in the studio for his show now, right after the 1 p.m. features. Don't want to miss it. And, of course, that show, as well as all of our recent shows, are available in the show archive section at WWGH1071.com. The Adam the Computer Guy show here on a beautiful spring morning in Mid-Ohio. Thank you so much for listening. 18 minutes before 10 in the a.m. Last week, Google announced it would minimize the use of Adobe's Flash Player in its Chrome web browser by the end of this year by turning off its default status. When Chrome encounters a web page, it will report the presence of Flash Player only if a user has indicated that the domain should execute Flash or if the site is one of the top 10 domains using Flash. And that comes from Anthony LaForge, Technical Program Manager for Google Chrome. When a web surfer using Chrome encounters a site offering HTML5, which is the latest and greatest programming language for websites, the change in Google's browser will make that the primary experience. Anthony LaForge, again, he is a technical program manager for Google Chrome, said, "We will continue to ship Flash Player with Chrome, and if a site truly requires Flash, a prompt will appear at the top of the page when the user first visits that site, giving him or her the option of allowing it to run for that site." While Flash historically has been critical for rich media on the web, today in many cases HTML5 provides a more integrated media experience with faster load times and lower power consumption. This change reflects the maturity of HTML5 and its ability to deliver an excellent user experience. Now, when I first started doing web pages, and that's been since 1995, I'm thinking back like in the late 90s, Flash was really the hot interface, a great way to put animation, make little fancy buttons that change, and it also would adapt well whether you're on a Mac or a PC or whatever version of Windows that you have. Back in the late 90s, we were getting ready to introduce Windows XP. Windows 98 was pretty much what many people had, plus assorted versions of Mac, and people like to use Linux also. Flash was great because it worked so well on different platforms, and you could download the Flash Viewer very, very quickly and easily. But, of course, over the last few years, and the way that things tend to change with technology, Flash has become much less favorable. Patrick Moorhead, a principal analyst at Moore Insights and Strategy, said, "This whole thing with Google and basically phasing out Flash is part of a 10-year effort by the entire industry to get rid of Flash." So again, the tables have turned. Patrick Moorhead said this is the next step in that process as people move to HTML5. "After this proposed change, if you are not a top 10 website and you use Flash, you are going to have trouble with people who visit you who are using Chrome." Now, Google's change in Chrome creates a whitelist of 10 domains where Flash will be turned on by default. Again, these are just 10 domains out of the billions and billions of domains that we have. Facebook, YouTube, Yahoo, Live.com, Amazon.com, and a few others are on that list. And Google actually intends upon getting rid of that whitelist after a year. Now, the company's support of a whitelist may be an indication of just how tough it's going to be to remove Flash from the web. Rahul Yap, a chief security architect with Bromium, said, "Getting rid of Flash is going to be an onerous task due to its pervasive influence on the internet. Already, Google is resorting to poking holes in their strategy by whitelisting popular websites to minimize user impact. This is definitely going to be a long and slow process, and Google's timeline is definitely aggressive." So a change in the way that websites are programmed, the way they're viewed on the browser and Chrome, which we covered last week, is now the top browser in the United States. Pretty much a decision that they make will have a rippling effect in many areas. This is Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Taking your telephone calls here, right here in the studio, live in the Marion Center Mall. Hey, give me a ring right now. I'd love to talk to you. Questions, comments, suggestions about a topic we've covered today or on previous shows is more than welcome. Question about your printer, maybe it's not printing. Your monitor is only monitoring your headaches. Or maybe your server is not serving anything other than a pain in the you-know-where. I'd love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH1071.com or pick up the telephone, 740-383-9944. If you would like to be a commentator here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, I'd love to hear from you. Live in studio via Skype or telephone, or we can record a segment. I can even come to your home or office and record a segment, and we'll play it on the air. How about that? Would love to do that. Again, email is the best way to reach me, adam at wwgh1071.com. One of my regular commentators is my longtime friend and business associate, Mr. Nick C.J. He lives in the beautiful location of Wales in the United Kingdom. He's going to give us a little anecdote today, a little special treat for you here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show.
Hi, Adam. Today's funny from the web and IT world here in the wilds of Wales in the UK is about websites. Yesterday, I went to see a customer I've been building a website for some time, mainly because they're very slow in sending the content to me. They wanted a face-to-face chat about the site, so I popped out to them. Their first question was why their garden machinery site had a grass photograph as the background. I replied, because you asked for a grass photograph as the background. Well, we don't like it, they said. So, fair enough, I deleted it there and then on the spot. So, what would you like in its place, I asked. Let's leave it white. Okay, this went on for about 15 minutes, deleting all of the photographs and leaving it white with words. The last bit that was left was a nice slideshow of farm machinery and quad bikes that they sold. These were the models they told me they stocked, and they sent me the photographs for them. Ah, yes, they said. But all of the photos that we sent to you were the ones we don't stock. Flabbergasted is the only word that even comes close to my exasperation. Moving forward, they have promised to send me photos of things they actually sell. Of course, the customer is always right. So, ho-hum, let's move on. Back to you, Adam.
It is I, Adam the Computer Guy. Thank you very much, Mr. Paul Savage. I call him Marion's Minister of Music and the Christian Keyboard Connoisseur. You can listen to him and his lovely wife, Glenna, on Heaven Express, where they also perform musical numbers. And that show is aired after the 5 p.m. features every Sunday. Right here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM. Quite the talent there. And again, thank you, Paul, for your fine performance. Much appreciated. And a catchy song, if I should say so myself. Of course, coming after me today and that'll start in about 20 minutes, is the legendary Charlie Evers for the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show. Now, there's a man with a large amount of anecdotes, stories, both amusing and otherwise. He's essentially a walking history book and encyclopedia of Mid-Ohio. And he loves to get your telephone calls, 740-383-9944. The Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show, following me and the 10 a.m. features every Thursday on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM. Also invite you to listen to Marion Today. It's not on today, it's on Monday. It's with Fran Vohl from about 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. Mondays here on Marion's Talking Place. Of course, we have many great shows on WWGH, so please go to our website and you can go ahead and print out a schedule. And that website, of course, is WWGH1071.com. And again, if you do miss a show, that's okay. Go to that website and you can listen on demand. Just click on the show archives link. And that's whether you're on your phone, tablet, or computer, doesn't matter. Our website is responsive, which means that it works on pretty much any type of device. Adam Lepp here. Still time to take your telephone calls to talk today's technology topics on a Thursday. Is that enough T's? I think it is. T, of course, in this case, stands for terrific. And my phone number here in the station is 740-383-9944. Here is some good news to pass along to you. The FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, has voted 3-2 to approve a $2.25 billion program to subsidize broadband internet service and bundled voice and data packages for low-income consumers. Now, this new subsidy is part of a major overhaul of the agency's Lifeline program, which has provided affordable phone access for decades. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler and Commissioners Mignone Clyburn and Jessica Rosenworcel voted in favor of the measure. Sorry, I just kind of like that name, Rosenworcel. Great name. Anyway, Commissioners Ajit Pai and Michael O'Reilly dissented. The goal is not only to expand affordable high-speed internet, but also to eliminate waste and fraud from the system, according to Chairman Tom Wheeler. Further, they will even be evening the playing field in the modern economy. Wheeler pointed out, quote, by dramatically improving Lifeline's management and design and putting the program on sound fiscal footing moving forward, we will help low-income Americans across our nation connect to the internet and the opportunities of the broadband revolution. Now, back in 1985, 31 years ago, the FCC launched the Lifeline program to ensure low-income Americans had access to basic telephone service. It provided subsidized basic landline or wireless telephone service for consumers who were at or below 135% of the poverty line. However, 43% of the nation's poorest households cannot afford to have broadband service in their home, according to the FCC. Now, this order will phase in minimum standards for standalone broadband or bundled service starting in December of 2016. The program will provide a minimum of 500 megabits per month at 3G speeds, starting in December, eventually rising to 2 gigabytes per month by the end of 2018. It will phase in a minimum of 500 bundled voice minutes per month starting in December and rise to 1,000 minutes per month by December 1st of 2018. Now, to encourage carrier participation, the FCC will enlist a third-party national eligibility verifier to screen applicants. There will be a streamlined process for bringing in carriers called Lifeline Broadband Providers, and to refine the list of federal programs that consumers can use to verify eligibility. Programs include SNAP, SSI,
tribal programs, HUD federal housing assistance, Medicaid, and veterans' pension. The vote was a long-awaited reform for many low-income communities that have broadband access only through smartphone connections. Josh Sager, policy counsel at New America's Open Technology Institute, said, "Today's order is a tremendously important step towards getting more Americans online. Lifeline is not a silver bullet that closes the digital divide entirely, but it tackles the biggest barrier to broadband adoption, which is cost. 48% of households making less than $25,000 a year are online, while 95% of households making $150,000 are online." That comes from Philip Berenbroek, Council for Government Affairs at Public Knowledge. Now, 80% of Fortune 500 companies require job applicants to be done online, which means low-income job seekers effectively have an automatic disadvantage when competing for jobs. Craig Settles, a technology analyst who specializes in broadband issues, said, "The FCC should expand the program to work with local public libraries and nonprofits in low-income communities, where many of the libraries currently loan out multiple hotspots to residents. Making broadband service available to low-income customers for less does not seem to be a problem for providers." Mr. Berenbroek said cable companies have been supportive of the FCC's effort to modernize Lifeline. Earlier this year, providers including Comcast, Cox, AT&T, Verizon, CenturyLink, and Frontier filed a letter, along with Public Knowledge, urging the FCC to reform Lifeline to support broadband. So some very positive news. I am in favor, certainly, of providing subsidies so more people can get online. And I think this was handled quite well without a significant taxpayer cost or inconvenience to anybody involved. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy with my radio show. Thank you for listening. Please be sure to visit my website for more information about me and my contact details. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
Adam Lepp! Well, unfortunately, my show is coming to a conclusion. But don't despair. We have the 10 a.m. features, news, sports, and promos. And then we have the Charlie Evers show until noon. And then now with Scott Spears. Adam Lepp, AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe